This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم اجعل عملنا كله صالحا ولوجهك خالصا ولا تجعل لأحد فيه شيئا. This is lesson number 5 in the explanation of the short surahs of the Quran. Now, this is lesson number 5. We're halfway through there, inshallah. Today, inshallah, by the permission of Allah, we ask Allah for His help and for His support to guide our words. Today we'll be looking at Surati al-Duha. Now, the tafsir of Surati al-Duha from the tafsir al-Si'di, Taysir Karim al-Rahman, bi tafsiri Kalam al-Mannan. But before we do that, inshallah, we'll look at the study guide for Surah Al-Sharh from the previous week. Question number one, what are some of the meanings of Allah providing sharh for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest? What are some of the meanings of Allah providing sharh for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest? Yep.
Accepting laws of Islam, calling others to accepting the decree of Allah.
Naam. Opening his chest to accept the revelation, to giving da'wah, to having good character, to focusing on the hereafter, and also to accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to those things. And meaning, again, the implication of that is what? Is that even for someone as wonderful and as great as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would not have been able to do what he did without Allah's help. Everybody needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And that's the idea. Everyone needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And that's why, in one of the last surahs revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ When the help of Allah comes and the victory. Yani the victory came, the conquest of Mecca came after what? After the help of Allah. It came with the help of Allah. And if Allah did not help him, his da'wah would not have moved forward. And so it's important to remember that no matter how much Allah has blessed us with natural goodness that He created us with, how good our character is, how intelligent we are, how financially savvy we are, none of that makes a difference if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not help us. Number two, what is the meaning of wizr? What is wizr? So wizr is huge sins, heavy sins, burdensome sins. And what explanation does Surah Al-Fat, chapter number 48, verse 2, give for the removal of the wizr of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did what for him? Allah forgives those who follow the Messenger. But even the Messenger himself, as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Fat, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ So that Allah may forgive those sins that have already preceded and any sins that come thereafter. And so Allah removing the wizard of the Prophet ﷺ is for him to forgive him, that he forgave him his previous sins as well as any sins to come. And that is going to be, subhanAllah, in the hadith of Shafa'a, that is going to be the point by which the Prophet, to let us know how important forgiveness is, that's going to be the point by which the Prophet ﷺ claims or is directed to people seeking Shafa'a for him. You know, when people are standing waiting for the judgment to begin, they're going to go to, the people are going to go to Nuh to intercede with Allah for the judgment to begin. He's going to give his excuse. They're going to go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. They're going to go to Musa alayhi salam. They're going to go to Isa alayhi salam. And when they go to Isa, the hadith mentions, they're not going to mention that he committed any mistake. All the other prophets are going to mention what they believe were mistakes that they made that took them away from being able to stand and ask Allah to start the judgment. They're going to go to Isa. And Isa, there's not going to be any shortcoming that's mentioned about him. But he's going to say, go to the one whom Allah has forgiven his previous and future sins. Isa is going to direct him to the one who what? Who Allah said he forgave. All of them were forgiven. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned specifically about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he forgave his sins, and that is what is going to allow him to feel yani the strength and the courage by the permission of Allah to stand in front of Allah and to ask, to request, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the judgment. And so that is the point, that Allah's forgiveness yani is a great thing, and it is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distinguished with. Number three, what are two examples that Imam As-Sa'idi gives for how the dhikr of the Prophet ﷺ was raised? What are instances where the dhikr of the Prophet ﷺ was raised and continues to be raised? Yeah.
Allah raised his status, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Prophet Muhammad.
So he praises the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sends salat upon him, and the angels do as well. Also, we mentioned in the adhan that we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and so his name is raised in that instance as well. Also in the iqamah, also when a person enters into Islam. He cannot enter into Islam without testifying that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Number four, what close relationship does Imam As-Sa'idi explain between the difficulty we experience and the relief that Allah intends for us? What is the relationship between the difficulty and the relief? They come together. Whenever a difficulty comes, it comes with the ease already with it. We just have to what? We have to wait, be patient for that ease to open itself up. The ease comes with the difficulty. There's no difficulty that Allah decrees for us except that there is relief that comes with it. We have to wait to see that relief. And sometimes the relief we may not see in the form that we are expecting. Sometimes the relief is the removal of sins that makes worship easier for us. And sometimes we're struggling religiously and we get tested with something, and that test is a purification of sins. And so the relief comes when Allah makes worship easy for us. The things that we found difficulty doing in worshiping Allah, Allah makes those things easy. And that strengthening, that improvement of our worship, strengthens our heart and helps us to be able to deal with the test that Allah gives us. Now, number five, mentioned the hadith that Imam As-Sa'idi uses to show the relationship between the difficulty we experience and the relief that Allah intends for us. We said that he mentioned the hadith of Ibn Abbas, where he said at the end of the hadith, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, that the relief comes with the calamity, وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, and that with the difficulty comes the ease. Number six, what does Allah tell the Prophet ﷺ how does Allah tell the Prophet ﷺ to show appreciation for the many blessings he has given him? How does he tell him to show his gratitude? That when he's busy with the things he has to do, that he what? That he tire himself out worshiping Allah. You know, the way that a person shows gratitude, the way he commands the Prophet ﷺ to show gratitude is to what? Is to worship Allah. And subhanAllah, that is how the Prophet ﷺ showed his gratitude. When the Prophet ﷺ would get up and pray at night until his feet swole, he was asked, why do you do this and your sins have already been forgiven. Why are you standing up at night till your feet swell praying and you already know that your situation is safe with Allah? Why do you do this to yourself? You should be done. Khalas, it's over. You don't have to work anymore. Now you know you're going to Jannah. What did he say? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be thankful then? And even if, again, we look at the seerahs of the seerah of the those who were promised paradise. Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the others. And they didn't stop worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they were given glad tidings of paradise. They improved and strove to be better. And they didn't like to be praised in their faces. They continued to strive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, to show appreciation, what did he do? He continued to worship Allah and strove harder. What does Imam As-Sa'di mention as the meaning of fansab? He says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. What does fansab mean? Fansab means to tire yourself out. Allah mentions in Surah Al-Ghashiyah that those who disbelieve, عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. They're going to be working and tired, weary, worn out. Nasab is fatigue. And so, fansab means to stand up and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to tire yourself out worshiping Allah. What is the implied opposite that he says we should stay away from? If we're supposed to busy ourselves worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tire ourselves out worshiping Allah, then what should we stay away from? We should stay away from playing around and wasting our time and those things that keep us away from remembering Allah. We should stay away from playing around, wasting our time, and doing those things that keep us from remembering Allah. And I think it's important, again, to put all of that in context and perspective. Number one, we have to realize that as human beings, we were created to do what? To worship Allah. What does it mean to worship Allah? It means to prefer what Allah wants us to do over what we want to do. That means when Allah tells us to do something, we do it in spite of how we feel. And it's recognizing that because Allah has been good to us, we owe Him. Because Allah has been good to us, we owe Him. And that's not a foreign concept. When someone is good to us, then we feel indebted to them. When someone is good to us, we feel like we owe them. Allah has been good to us, and so we owe Him worship. Our parents are good to us, and so we owe them our obedience. We owe them that we comply with what they say without making it seem like it's a big deal and without complaining about it. And sometimes our parents remind us, do you know what I do for you? Don't you know I do this? Don't you know I do that? Then why are you raising your voice? Why are you panicking? I'm not asking you to do a whole lot. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't ask us to do a whole lot. That's number one. Number one, we recognize that we have a debt to repay. And again, put that in perspective as it relates to the dunya. If a person has a nice paying job and is comfortable, but he has debt, it's very difficult to enjoy a good time and to spend money freely, and you know that you are in debt. And you owe $50,000, $100,000 to an institution. It's very difficult to be comfortable. You have another $50,000 or $100,000 to pay on a house. It's very difficult to have some sense of freedom and some comfort. And you know you have a debt to pay off. And so a person may what? Do overtime, work extra. Why? So I can get this debt paid off and I can relax. We have a debt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to pay off. And not only do we have a debt that we have to pay off, we continue to take out on the debt. We continue to ask Him. It's not like we stopped at some moment and now we're just working on any what's there. No, we continue to ask Him daily. And so we have a debt to pay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we can't pay it back. because he's been too good to us. And even what we paid back is because he gave us the success to pay him back. And you take out a loan, and then the bank that you borrow from is giving you money to pay off the loan. That's the idea. Whatever good we do, Allah blessed us to do the good in the first place. And so what? We owe him for helping us to do good and to do what he says. And then if Allah is blessing us to understand that, then we have to be concerned with what level are we trying to reach? Yani, do we want the lowest level of Jannah? Or do we want higher levels? Do we want the best? I mean, we're not satisfied in the world with having simple things. A simple car may not cost a whole lot, but we want a nice car. Not what gets us by. Not what gets us from point A to point B. We want something nice. And when we eat, and it doesn't take delicious food to fill our bellies and to nourish us. It doesn't have to taste good and be wonderful for it to be satiating and for it to be nourishing. But we want the food to taste good, and we want to be able to buy nice things. And when we purchase a house, we don't need all types of comfort to lay our head down at night and sleep. But we want something nice. And so that same concept has to go with the hereafter. We want bare minimum for the hereafter because we don't know what the hereafter looks like. We want the niceness of the dunya even though we're going to leave it. And we don't know when we're going to leave it. We don't know how long we're going to have it. And a person might buy a car and he has it for a week and then Allah calls him back. Got to drive it for a week. All that work for a week worth of driving. But the hereafter is going to be forever. And these are the realities we have to remind ourselves of. And so we're trying to what? Trying to increase our levels. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. If you ask Allah, then ask him for al-firdaus. Don't ask him for the bare minimum of Jannah. As long as you're dealing with one who is kind and generous in giving, then what? Ask for the best. But it's not enough just to ask for it. You have to what? You have to work for it. Because working for it shows that you really want it. Working shows that you want it. And it's one thing to say, I want this, I want that, I want this. Yeah, I want a really nice car. Okay. Work for it, you get it. Nah, it's okay. Huh? If we want it for the dose, we got to work for it. And so, what we need to understand is that there's too much that we have to work for to have time to play. It's too much. We have this debt to pay off. We have gratitude to show. And we're trying to raise our levels. Those things keep us what? Busy from having time to play. And when I say having time to play, that doesn't mean that we don't have fun and a good time and don't enjoy ourselves with our family. But we learn to do those things with intent and purpose. We relax because we know we have to get back to work. And the relaxation is to help us in our work. We spend a good time with our children because we want to strengthen that relationship with them so that we can have influence over their lives and the dunya doesn't. We're hoping that the quality time we spend with our family is what helps us to have a strong relationship with them, and then when we encourage them to do good, then they want to do good because they love us and they know that we want good for them. We want to show them a good time. And so we're trying to get close to Allah by being kind to our families. We show a good time to our wives because we know that that makes Allah happy. Not just because we're trying to relax. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, وَلَنْ تُنْفِقْ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلُ فِي امْرَاتِكَ. You will never spend any money. You will never spend any money trying to seek Allah's pleasure except that you will be rewarded for it. Even the food you put in your wife's mouth. So it's about being intentional about what we do. When we play, it's not because we don't have anything else to do. It's not because we're trying to kill time. Don't worry. Something's going to kill time for us. We don't have to kill it. Something's going to kill time. Don't worry. Allah has already designated death to do that. We need to be making use of our time in a good way. And that's either by benefiting ourselves or others religiously, or benefiting ourselves and others in the deen and in the dunya. And so a person, a young man wants to be a husband, wants to be a father, wants to start a family. Do you know the regulations of Islam as it relates to being a husband? Do you know the regulations of Islam as it relates to being a father, a parent? Do you have the Islamic knowledge where you're comfortable being able to teach your family? Do you know the adhkar of the morning and the evening by which to seek Allah's help in being able to strive for Allah's sake and earn a living? It's too much for us to learn. Too much that we need individually and as a community to have time to play. Even when we look at our professions, how are you going to use that to benefit the Muslims? Whatever we learn how to do as a profession, as a job, there should be some way we're thinking about, how can I get good deeds with Allah? How can I get close to Allah with what He's blessed me to learn how to do? We should be looking at that. And that should be what we're telling our children. A person may be studying for his test, for his homework, and he's getting a good deed. Why? Because he's planning on using what he's learning to be able to not ask people. And he's planning to use this to what? To benefit the Muslims. And so doing homework becomes worship, because it's being done with an intention. And the time that he uses off to play and to relax can become worship. Why? Because he's using it to relax to get back to work. But we don't have time just to be playing, just to be scrolling and flipping through social media like that, trying to see what other people are saying and other people are doing. Other people are living, and we're watching them live, and we call that life. People who are really not important. They're really not important. This actor, this actress, this athlete, at the end of the day, no offense, but usually, these people, they're not the best people. Usually they're not like the best of society. And what they earn and what they do, they don't use to benefit other people. And so who are they that we should be worrying about how they live? What do we know about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he explained to us why it's important to learn about the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. He said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Mata sa'a? When is the day of judgment going to be?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Ma laha? What have you prepared for it?" And don't ask me about when it's going to come. When it comes, it's going to come. What have you prepared for it? He said, "Mastaadatu kabira shay." And I haven't prepared much. "Illa anni uhibbu Allah wa rasulahu." Except that I love Allah and His Messenger. "Qala satakunu ma'a man ahbabt." You will be with who you love. Anas ibn Malik says, we weren't happier on any other day than when we heard the Prophet ﷺ say, a person will be with whom he loves. And then Anas ibn Malik himself said, and I swear that I love the Prophet ﷺ, and I love Abu Bakr, and I love Umar, and I ask Allah to place me with them, even though my actions don't compare to theirs. He loved the Prophet ﷺ, and he loved Abu Bakr, and he loved Umar, radiallahu anhum. And he hoped that based upon that love, that Allah would do what? Raise his levels. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, a person will be with whom he loves. And so a person has to look at who he loves. And you want to know how we know what we love? It's where we spend our time and our money. It's where we spend our time and our money. Whatever we spend our time doing most, that's what we love. We spend our time on social media a lot because we love ourselves. We love ourselves. We want to see how many likes and comments and feedback that we have from people. No, and we spend our money on things that make people like us because we love ourselves. Or we spend our money on things, tickets to events, because those are the things that we love. And so we have to be careful, and we have to just make sure that we are using our time. And we have to take ourselves to account. Now, we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to play. And when we play with intention. We play because there's a purpose behind that playing. And other than that, then we are working to make ourselves better and make the community better and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, and so looking now, inshallah, at Surati Ad-Duha, the first thing to mention, mashallah, one of the brothers who attends the class, mashallah, he mentioned, you know, earlier in the week, and he mentioned, he said, it seems like Surati Sharh and Surati Duha seems like they are related to one another because they both talk about blessings. And there are some of the scholars, amongst them, Tawus, who is from the scholars of Yemen, who mentioned, he was from the students of Ibn Abbas, where he mentioned that these two surahs were one surah. That Surati Duha and Surati Sharh were one surah. And it wasn't a prevalent statement, but there was a scholar that said that the two of them were one surah. And again, Tawus was a student of Ibn Abbas, and Ibn Abbas, the Prophet ﷺ prayed for him to teach him the meanings of the Quran. So it's not, again, it's not a far-fetched statement. And a person that looks at the two surahs see that they are very closely related. If I were to offer my own input, the relationship between them seems to be very similar to the relationship between Surati Al-Falaq and Surati Nas. They're both ways of seeking refuge, but they're seeking refuge. Surati Al-Falaq is about seeking refuge from the harm of the harm in general and harm in the dunya, whereas Surati Nas seems to be focusing more on harm in the deen and protecting one's heart. And so Surati Duha looks at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what some of the scholars of tafsir have mentioned. They look at the blessings of Allah before he became a prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he became a prophet. And then Surah Sharh looks at the blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after he became a prophet. Allah opened his chest to receiving more revelation and to improving himself and becoming better in what he is. And he also forgave him his sins. And he raised his mention, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas Surah Duha talks about happened before he became a prophet or when he first became a prophet. Now, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. Imam al-Sa'di, he says, أَقْسَمَ تَعَالَى بِالنَّهَارِ إِذَا انْتَشَرَ ضِيَاؤُهُ. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the day when its light spreads. Al-Duha is the time when the light, it spreads. It's after the sun has risen. Then that time is Al-Duha all the way until just before Salatul Dhuhr. Now, so he swears by Al-Duha, and then he says, وَبِاللَّيْل, and he swears by the night. إِذَا سَجَى, he says, وَإِذْ لَهَمَّتْ ظُلْمَتُهُ. And when its darkness becomes extremely dark. Idlahammat ظُلْمَتُهُ means that its darkness really sets in. So he swears by the day when its light sets in, and by the darkness by the night when its darkness sets in. And as we mentioned previously, the scholars mentioned that there is a connection, or Ibn al-Qayyim in particular mentions there's a connection between what's being sworn by and what's being sworn about. Imam al-Sa'di says he swears by these things, by the daytime and when its light spreads, and by the nighttime and when its darkness spreads. Ala i'tina'i Allahi bi rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He swears by these things regarding the attention and care and concern that he gives for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is swearing by the daytime when its light spreads and by the nighttime when its darkness spreads. About what? About the fact that he has given care and concern and attention to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And bil munasibah, in mentioning, because the Imam al-Sa'di doesn't mention this, but also in the Sahih, the reason why this surah was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were a few days where he did not receive revelation. And so some of the kuffar, amongst them mentioned in particular, was Jamil, who was the wife of Abu Lahab. She came to him and she said, I see that your shaitan has left you. I see that your shaitan has left you. And you're not talking about what's been revealed to you for a couple of days. So whatever was coming to you is gone from you now. And so when the Prophet ﷺ heard that, it made him sad. It made him sad. And some other people from the Quraysh said that, I see that you've made your shaitan angry. You've made your shaitan angry. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah, Wadduha, I swear by the daytime when the light spreads in it, Layli idha saja, and by the night when its darkness spreads, that your Lord, ma wadda'aka rabbuk, that your Lord has not left you. Now, and so from the connections that have been made between what's being sworn by and what's being sworn about, some of the scholars have mentioned that what it indicates is that Allah, no matter in the dark moments and in the light moments, day and night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, watching you. He has not left you. Whether it's daytime or nighttime, all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, looking after you, caring for you, concerned about your situation. Now, and some of the other scholars have mentioned that Allah mentions the duha, before he mentions the night, showing that the light is coming after the darkness, after the difficult times, after what has made you sad, Allah is going to bring light, back to your heart. Whatever darkness or difficulty you're experiencing, that Allah is going to bring light from that. The revelation that has missed you, that dark moment where you were not receiving revelation, there is revelation coming after that that will bring light to your heart. So after that dark period, the light is the light of revelation is coming back to your heart. That's what different scholars have mentioned as the relationship between what's being sworn about and what's being sworn by and what's being sworn about. Imam al-Sa'di, he says, فَقَالَ مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ. He says, مَا تَرَكَكَ مُنْذُ اِعْتَنَى بِكَ. That your Lord has not left you from the moment that he's given attention to you. He says, وَلَا أَهْمَلَكَ مُنْذُ رَبَّكَ وَرَعَكَ. And he has not left you. He has not stopped giving attention to you once he has cared for you and looked after you. بَلْ لَمْ يَزَلْ يُرَبِّيكَ أَكْمَلَ تَرْبِيَةً وَيُعْلِيكَ دَرَجَةً بَعْدَ دَرَجَةً. He said he has continued to look after you, to care for you, to guide you in the best way, raising your level step after step. He's continued to look after you and to raise your level and to take care of you step after step. Again, we mentioned what was the reason why this surah was revealed, and I think it's worth noting that there seem to be similarities between this surah and Surah Al-Fajr, and we'll look at that inshallah a little bit later. But one point worth noting is that when the revelation ceased for a moment, the disbelievers took that as an indication that the Prophet ﷺ has messed up his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the way that the kuffar look at life is based upon what happens to them in the dunya. That people, it's natural if people don't know who Allah is, that they judge their relationship with Allah based upon what? What happens in the dunya. And so when times are good, then they say what? My Lord loves me. And when times are difficult, they think that Allah doesn't care about them anymore. And Allah says, Kalla. No, that's not the way it works. It's not that if you're rich and comfortable and wealthy and you got a job and everything is fine and nobody's sick, that Allah loves you. And if you get tested in those things, then that means Allah doesn't love you. No, that's not the way Allah works. Actually, the more Allah loves a person, then the more he what? He tests them to strengthen their hearts. And we ask Allah for al-afiyah. Don't ever ask Allah to test you. You ask Allah to save you from the test. We ask Allah to save us from being tested. Because we don't know how we're going to react. We don't know how we're going to deal with it. But when he tests us, and if he tests us, then we're what? We're patient. And if a person looks at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that he sees what? That the Prophet ﷺ was tested over and over again in so many different ways. And the Prophet ﷺ was the most beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so being tested in the dunya is not an indication of Allah's love. But if a person doesn't know Allah, then that's how they're going to think that Allah operates. Because that's how? Because how people operate. When we don't know Allah, then we're going to compare Allah to people. And that's a problem. Because people are selfish in that way. They give you when they love you, and they don't give when they don't love you. Then we assume when we don't have revelation that that's how Allah is. It's not how Allah is. Allah gives to those whom He loves and those whom He doesn't love as a test. If Allah, if this dunya meant anything to Allah, the disbeliever would not breathe. If this world meant anything to Allah, the disbeliever would not breathe air. And so the fact that disbelievers are wealthy, are comfortable in this dunya, that they have, is an indication that this dunya does not mean much. And as Allah mentions in Surah Al-Fajr, and I advise you to go back and read it, Allah mentions that whatever He gives or He withholds is a what? Is a test. That's all it is. What He gives and what He withholds is a test. That's all it is. And so we don't use what happens in this dunya as a measure of Allah's love. It's not that if we're struggling financially, Allah doesn't love us. And then when we're financially comfortable, Allah loves us. No. In the previous surah, we said what? With the difficulty already comes the ease. It's a test. With the difficulty comes the ease. And sometimes the comfort is really going to be the difficulty, because that's what's going to be difficult later on. You know, a person has to work when Allah is good to them to be what? To be grateful. And Allah is always good to us. We have to learn to be appreciative for the goodness, because if we're not appreciative, then it's going to be a source of regret. No. And so we don't use the dunya to measure. We don't use the dunya as a measure. But that's how the disbelievers look at things. He says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. He says, يعني وَمَا قَلَاكَ اللَّهِ. يعني Allah has not قَلَاك, meaning He has not hated you after loving you. He has not hated you after loving you simply because the revelation has ceased. And Ibn Rajab, in his explanation of the 40 hadith, he mentions this surah, and he mentions that that's what qala is. Yani, how is qala, or al-qali, how is that different from other types of anger? He says that al-qali is al-bughd ba'd al-hub, that it's anger after loving. Yani, you love, and then after that love, then you hate. That's what it means to qala. So he says, and Imam As-Sa'di is hinting to that, is alluding to that here in his tafsir. He says, He has not hated you, ma abghadaka mundhu ahabbak. He has not hated you since He has loved you. فَإِنَّ نَفْيَ الضِّدْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ ثَبُوتِ ضِدِّهِ. Yani, he says, because negating the opposite, or negating something, affirms the opposite. Yani, when Allah is saying He has not left you, that means that He's with you. And when He says He does not hate you, that means He loves you. Allah is affirming that He loves the Prophet ﷺ, and that He's affirming that He's with him, that He's supporting him. How is He affirming that? By negating the opposite. By saying that He hasn't left him, and that He doesn't hate him, is affirming that He's with him and that He loves him. He says, فَإِنَّ نَفْيَ الضِّدْ دَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ ثَبُوتِ ضِدِّهِ. He says, because negating something is an affirmation of its opposite. وَالنَّفْيُ الْمَغْضِ لَا يَكُونُ مَدْحًا إِلَّا إِذَا تَضَمَّنَا ثُبُوتِ الْكَمَالِ. He says, simply negating is not praiseworthy. Simply saying, I didn't do something, I don't hate you, or I haven't left you, that doesn't mean much unless we're affirming the opposite. Because in affirming the opposite, that's what's praiseworthy. So saying that Allah saying that He doesn't hate the Prophet ﷺ doesn't mean, and it's not meaningful unless we're affirming that He loves the Prophet ﷺ, and that's what He's telling him for. And negating that He's left him is affirming that He loves him. And that's why you find in the Quran, seldom, if at all, does Allah ever say that Allah is just. Seldom, if at all, in the Quran does Allah say Allah is adil. What does He say? Inna Allah la yadhlim. Wa la yadhlimu rabbuka ahada. Allah doesn't oppress anyone. Inna Allah la yadhlimu mithqala dharra. Allah doesn't oppress even the smallest amount. Why is He negating that He oppresses? To affirm His complete justice. And by negating oppressing at all, that's stronger in affirming His justice. Because if a person is fair, that doesn't mean that sometimes he doesn't slip and become unjust. And a person can be mostly just. 98% of the time he can be just, but then 2%, he's unjust. And so when Allah says, Allah does not oppress even a little bit, mithqala dharra, even the smallest amount, what does that mean? That means Allah is just completely. Don't even misunderstand that there's a little bit of injustice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything Allah does is fair. How does He affirm His complete fairness? By negating any injustice. And so through negation is a more complete affirmation. Through negation is a more complete affirmation. That's why a part of our shahada is what? La ilaha illallah. Nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. That's different than saying Allah deserves to be worshipped. Because you could be saying what? Allah deserves to be worshipped and other things deserve to be worshipped. But when you say La ilaha, nothing deserves to be worshipped, illallah, then that negation makes the affirmation stronger. And so that's the principle that Imam As-Sa'di is mentioning here. Now, and there's lots more examples I can go with that. But if you take that as a principle for reading the Quran and the Sunnah, whenever you see Allah telling you not to do something, the Prophet says, I'm telling you not to do something, then what does that mean? Do the opposite. Allah says, Inna Allah la yuhibbul kha'ineen. Allah doesn't love those who deceive. Then what does that mean? That means Allah loves those who are straight up. He loves those who are, you know, what you see is what you get. And so when things are negated in the Sharia, then we're affirming the opposite. Now, you can take that with hadith, take that with ayat. When we're negating something, then the opposite is being affirmed. He says, فَهَذِهِ حَالُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْمَاضِيَ وَالْحَاضِرَ. Yani this is the situation of the Prophet ﷺ in the past and in the present. That Allah was caring for him and looking after him and did not leave him. And now that He's made him a messenger and sent him to mankind, then He also has not left him and is not angry with him. Yani when a person is ghayra mumayyiz, ghayra aqil, when a person is not able to distinguish and discern and not able to make their own decisions, Allah looks after them. And even though they themselves don't have intent. And so if Allah looks after us when we can't do for ourselves, then when we can do for ourselves and we are obedient to Him, then wouldn't He look after us more? If He looks after us when we don't do what He says, because we can't, because we're not at the age to do that yet. If He cares for us then would He not care for us when we are obedient to Him? No. And so he says, فَهَذِهِ حَالُ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. This is the condition of the messenger. الْمَاضِيَ وَالْحَاضِرَ. This is the way it was previously, before he became a prophet. And now that he is a prophet, that's the way it is. أَكْمَلُ حَالٍ وَأَتَمُّهَا. The most complete and perfect situation. مُحَبَّةُ اللَّهِ لَهُ وَاسْتِمْرَارُهَا وَتَرْقِيَتُهُ في درجات الكمال ودوام اتناع الله به. Loved by Allah and continuing to raise level after level in terms of completeness, and Allah constantly looking after him and caring for him. And you look at the Prophet ﷺ at the beginning of his prophethood, and you see him grow and develop later on, yani throughout his prophethood. And you see the Prophet that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him to become better and to become better and to become more complete and more complete, yani until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself testified that he had completed his message. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I have completed your your religion. وَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. And I perfected my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as your religion. Yani this ayat is a praise of who? The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala complete the religion? How did he complete the religion? Through the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who conveyed the Quran? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who taught how to worship? The Prophet ﷺ. And so the completion of the deen is a testimony to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ conveyed the message that he was Abdullah wa Rasulullah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to take care of him until he completed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted for him. And Allah never stopped looking after him. And this, to a lesser degree, this is the situation of a believer. This is the situation of a believer. A person enters into Islam. And if he's true in that Islam, Allah continues to look after him and to cause him to grow until he becomes a different human being. And when a person accepted Islam, if a person accepted Islam 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the hope is he can look back and see himself as a better worshiper than he was 10 years ago. Yeah, there's still a struggle, but it wasn't like day one. When he first became a Muslim, he didn't know how to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. He didn't know how to pray. It was difficult. And someone had to stand with him and teach him. And now, he's praying on his own. And now he's teaching his children and his family. Now maybe brothers and sisters are directing him or her. Here, this brother's going to show you how to pray. This sister's going to show you how to pray. No doubt, that's a better situation. Because now not only is he benefiting himself, but he's benefiting others. And so the situation of a believer gets what? Better and better. Even with the tests. Because with each test, the person learns what? Better patience. Better trust in Allah. Maybe the first time he didn't handle it well. But the second time, he's patient. Second time, third time, makes dua a little bit more. Fourth time, he's able to shut his mouth and not say anything displeasing to Allah, not complaining so much, to be able to wait for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah causes a person, if Allah blesses him, to do what? To grow and become better. As mentioned in the hadith of Abi Yahya Suhayb ibn Sinan, a Rumi, where he mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجِبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the situation of a believer. His situation is always good. And that's only for a believer. In asabatuhu sarra shakar. Fakana khayrun lah. If good things happen to him, he's thankful. And that's better for him. When asabatuhu dharra sabar. Wadhalika khayrun lah. And if difficult times afflict him, he's patient. And that's best for him. And so Allah is constantly causing the believer to what? To become better and better. To move higher and higher. And that's the idea. That even a person's Ramadans, you know what a person did in his first Ramadan, it's not the same as other Ramadans. You know, a person becomes a better worshiper with time. You know, Allah, when a person says, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah gives that individual certain care. He becomes a different Rabb for that person. Allah is a Rabb for everyone as it relates to the dunya. He feeds and clothes and provides for everyone. But for the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also a Rabb for his heart. And he blesses him to learn more and to do better and to move. Things that he used to do and not care about, now when he does them, he feels remorse in his heart. He recognizes that he has disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he wants to be better. And this is a raising of the level of an individual. When he recognizes that his actions should be judged by the Quran and the Sunnah, and that when he goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at least he feels some remorse in his heart. That is a raising of the level. Because the kafir disobeys Allah and feels nothing about it. But the believer's heart becomes more and more alive. And if a person is struggling with something, if he continues to pray and ask Allah to guide his heart, then Allah will bless that person to leave that thing that is a challenge for him. Now, until he enters him into his Jannah without any sins and only enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, وَأَمَّا حَالُهُ الْمُسْتَقْبَلَ As for his future condition, فَقَالَ وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى He says, the hereafter, or what's later, is better for you than what was first. Yani, your later situation is going to be better than your initial situation. He says, أي كل حالة متأخرة من أحوالك. He says this is not limited to the hereafter. This is for every situation in the Prophet's life. Yani that every moment of his life, what happens later, what happens next, is going to be better than what happened before. He says, فَإِنَّ لَهَا الْفَضْلَ عَلَى الْحَالَ السَّابِقَةِ الْحَالَةِ السَّابِقَةِ Every situation from the Prophet ﷺ is only going to get better. Every situation of the Prophet ﷺ is only going to get better. He says, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَصْعَدْ فِي دَرَجَاتِ الْمَعَالِ He said he continued to move into higher levels. وَيُمَكِّنُ اللَّهُ لَهُ دِينَهُ And Allah continued to give his religion more firmness. وَيَنْصُرُهُ عَلَىٰ أَعْدَائِهِ And that he Yani strengthened him against his enemies, wa yusaddiduhu, and he reassured him and reaffirmed him, fi ahwalihi, in his situations, hatta mata, until he died, wa qad wasala ila halin ma wasala ilayha al-awwalun wal-akhirun. He said until he reached the level that those before him and those after him can never reach, min al-fadail, from his virtues, wa min al-ni'am, and from his blessings, وَقُرْتَ عَيْنٍ And from happiness and joy, وَسُرُورِ الْقَلْبِ And happiness of heart and peace of mind. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, in all of his situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him better. He's made him better than all the other prophets, alayhimu salam, because he allowed his revelation to what? To last. Allah has preserved his book. No other book has been preserved. And he has allowed his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be preserved. That we know with certainty what the Prophet ﷺ did in every situation of his life. And that we have the ability to what? To learn that. We have the ability to know exactly how the Prophet ﷺ worshipped. And that's another reason why we don't have time. Why we don't have time to waste and play. Because there's too many situations that we're dealing with off the cuff. Too many situations that we're dealing with and we don't know what to do in those situations. And we need to learn. You need to give an example. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that he mentions that when a person eats food, and after he eats food, if he says, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawlin minni wa la quwwa," all praise to the one who fed me this and provided it for me without any strength or power of my own, if he says that after he eats, he gets his sins forgiven. If you didn't know that hadith, that means we don't have time to play. Any, how many good deeds, how much forgiveness are we losing out on because of what we don't know? And we're not making time to know. And the same hadith has been mentioned for putting on clothes. If a person puts on an article of clothing, and he says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi كساني هذا ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. All praise to the one who clothed me in this and provided it for me without any strength of my own or any power. Then he gets his previous sins forgiven. A person puts on his pants and says something that gets his sins forgiven. And his shirt and says something and gets his sins forgiven. And his jacket and says something to get his sins forgiven. And his hat and says something to get his sins forgiven. It didn't say once he gets dressed. He said if he puts on his clothing. And each of these is its own article of clothing. And if we're looking at why would a person be forgiven for something like that, Allah forgives and blesses those who praise him. Because if a person praises Allah for what he gets, then that shows that he's what? Grateful. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And when your Lord proclaimed, if you're grateful, I will do what? I will increase you. And a person says Alhamdulillah in Surah Al-Fatiha, and if he left his home and came to the masjid, and the imam says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, if the person behind the imam in the masjid, this is a fadila for the masjid, if a person behind the imam says, Ameen, to what? To Alhamdulillah, what's going to happen? His previous sins get forgiven. And also in the masjid, when the imam raises up and says, Simi Allahu liman hamida, if those behind him say, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, O Allah, and to you, O our Lord, and to you is the praise, what happens? He gets his previous sins forgiven. This is in Sahih Bukhari. This is why we don't have time to play. You mean, how many opportunities are we losing on getting our sins forgiven? On getting our sins forgiven. Because we just don't know. And no one's going to get to Jannah unless his sins are forgiven. And everybody sins. Everybody falls short. You know why? Because we're not grateful enough for Allah's blessings. That's the sin. The sin is the oppression of ourselves, is that we are not thankful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can't be, because we don't know them all. Because we don't know all the ways that Allah has blessed us. And because the blessings of Allah are too many to count, then we can't appreciate them. Yani appreciate, show gratitude to Allah for every breath that we take. If you said, Alhamdulillah, every time you took a breath, then you couldn't do anything else. If we said thank you to Allah, Alhamdulillah, every time our heart beats, then we couldn't do anything else. Which is why when we leave the bathroom, we say what? Gufranak. Why are you seeking forgiveness for leaving the bathroom? Is it because using the bathroom is a sin? No. Because we can't thank Allah enough for his blessings. The blessing of being able to get that poison out of your body. And being able to chew it. And being able to swallow it. And for your body to be able to digest that food and then get rid of it. All those are different blessings that need to be what? Appreciated. Don't you as a parent? Don't you as a friend? Don't you as a teacher? Don't you as an employee? You get paid to work. But you want to be appreciated. Allahu Akbar. Money isn't enough. Money isn't enough. We get paid to work, but we want to be what? Appreciated. Recognized that I did a good job. Because everybody doesn't do a good job. No. Allah could have left us to anyone to take care of us, but he didn't. He took care of us himself. Not only in our dunya, but in our deen. He made sure that that men would go hungry and leave their homes and struggle and be fought against. Why? To make sure that you and I got revelation. He made sure that people would have the heart to sacrifice for this deen. Why? So that you and I now could worship in comfort. The Prophet ﷺ and his companions didn't pray in masajid like this. They didn't have air conditioning and heaters. And they didn't eat nice meals all the time, most of the time. Why did they suffer like that? Allah gave them heart to do what? To transmit the deen. And that's what we got to have. And we got to look at that and be inspired. We got to have heart to pass this deen on. We got to have heart to work so that our children who come after us have, yani, what they need to be able to keep pushing. And so the point is what? Who did that for us? Allah. Allah put it in people's hearts like that. Imam al-Bukhari. He put it in Imam al-Bukhari's heart to what? To not just travel the land and take vacations. To sit down and write hadith after hadith after hadith after hadith. To travel here and travel here to study. Why? So that we can have Sahih Bukhari sitting on the bookshelf looking at it. Yeah. That's the reality. And so we have to be appreciative. And so we owe gratitude. And it's too much for us to what? It's too much for us to show. And so we need what? Allah's forgiveness. We need Allah's forgiveness. And subhanAllah, and perhaps we'll, yeah, let's end on this point. Yeah, we'll pick up where we left off. I'm not in a rush. Don't need to be in a rush, huh? In Sahih Muslim, and this is important for da'wah, and it's important for us to understand. Because a lot of times, disbelievers, kufar, they say they don't understand. They don't understand how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could punish people when they're nice. They don't understand how Allah can punish people when they're nice people. Aisha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about one of her ancestors. His name was, one of her forefathers, his name was Ibn Jud'an. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Ibn Jud'an, he used to feed the poor. And he used to keep good family ties. هَلْ يَنْفَعُهُ ذَلِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Will that benefit him on the day of judgment? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَا. No. إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَقُلْ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهَرِ He never said a day in his life, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينِ He never said a day in his life, my Lord, forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. No matter how nice you are, you have not fulfilled Allah's right. That's the idea. Allah has rights that deserve to be fulfilled. And whoever strives to fulfill those rights, Allah will do what? Forgive them and let them go. And whoever does not even acknowledge the right, yani, when a person says, La ilaha illallah, what did he do? Why does he deserve saying, La ilaha illallah? Why does he deserve Jannah for that? Because he acknowledged Allah has rights, even if he falls short in fulfilling them. The kafir, the disbeliever, doesn't acknowledge. He doesn't say, Allah, I recognize you have rights, I'm falling short in fulfilling them. He doesn't acknowledge Allah has a right at all. And so because of that, he deserves to be punished. We deserve to be punished too. Because even though we acknowledge the right, we didn't fulfill it. But because we tried to fulfill it, then Allah does what? Lets us go. And this explains for us the first hadith in Kitab al-Tawheed, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, where he was riding behind the Prophet ﷺ one day, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Mu'adh, do you know the right of Allah on his slaves and the right of the slaves on Allah? He said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. He said, Allah and his messenger know best. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He says, the right of Allah on the slaves, أَنْ يَعْبُدُهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا is to worship him and not commit shirk. That is Allah's what? His right. وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ and the right of the slave on Allah
أَنْ لَا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. The right of the slave on Allah is that Allah not punish him if he does not commit shirk. The right of the slave is what? To not be punished if he does not commit shirk. Meaning, if he does commit shirk, if he does not make the acknowledgement that Allah has rights that distinguish him from the creation, he deserves what? To be punished. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, then Mu'adh said, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُ النَّاسِ. Should I not give glad tidings to the people that they have this right on Allah, that Allah, they have the right that Allah not punish them if they fulfill this right? He said, لَا تُبَشِّرْهُمْ فَيَتَّكِلُوا. Don't give them the glad tidings, because they're going to do what? They're going to depend on the promise and they're not going to do any work. You're going to depend on the promise and not do any work. And when they don't do the work, then they're not going to do what? They're not going to fulfill the right to the best of their ability. And so that's the idea. That's the idea. Allah has rights. And La ilaha illallah is about fulfilling the right of Allah. And everybody falls short in fulfilling that right. But the person who says La ilaha illallah and prays is what? Is acknowledging the right. And is making the minimal effort to fulfill the right. The person who never says La ilaha illallah is not what? Is not acknowledging that Allah has a right. And because Allah's right is so great, then the punishment is severe. Because Allah's right is so great, the punishment is severe. Federal crimes are different than state crimes, right? It's different level, right? Why? Because a crime against the state is against a small entity. A federal crime is against the entire government. They're different levels. And so they have different what? Sentencing standards. And so Allah, this is beyond federal. This is another level. And so don't try to imagine. Just like you can't imagine the greatness of Allah's qualities, then we also cannot imagine the greatness of His rights. And because of that, then we have to recognize that we fall short in recognizing the greatness of His punishment and also the greatness of His reward. No. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to strive to fulfill His rights and that He bless us to be better all the time. And that's from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he used to say, Naam. The dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to say, and this is dua for any time. Allahumma aslih li dini alladhi huwa ismatu amri. O Allah, rectify my deen, which is what keeps my life together. Wa aslih li dunyaya. O Allah, rectify my dunya. Allati fiha ma'ashi, which is what, it's where I have to live. Wa aslih li akhirati, and rectify my hereafter. Allati ilayha ma'adi, which is where I have to return. Waj'al al-hayata ziyadat li fi kulli khair. Make each day an increase for me in goodness. Help me to continue to improve. وَجَلَ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍ. And make death the end of all evil. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each day for us as believers an increase in goodness, and that He make death whenever it comes for us. May He make it a relief to any evil. Subhanahu wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.